Town are going up, alle, alle. Oh God, we started. Oh, sorry, I'm so sorry. Prynawn da, bore da, noswaith da, wherever and whatever time you are hearing us. And my point da, ydy, you know, dwi ddim yn siŵr. Hey, maybe people listen to this midnight, who knows.
Ond mi ydyn ni, we are here on Glanau, Afon Dyfdwy.
Yeah, we are.
Avon Dyfdwy, you mustn't say
don't
before
say
Avon.
The before no. Avon, that's it.
So we are here by the lovely Dee River. We are sitting in this lovely beer garden above the Dee River. It's very pretty and it's a lovely, it's quite sort of brusque afternoon. It's quite sort of cool. The air is a little bit bitey.
Yeah.
I did have a dress on before I came out and then realised that's not going to work. And I'm very glad I didn't now.
I was tempted by shorts myself, to be honest. And I'm glad. Yeah. I'm glad I didn't do it.
I think I've just been a bit traumatised by the constant rain of the past few months. So I'm just like so grateful.
It ruins you for about a month, doesn't it? I think definitely. Well, actually, this third voice you hear is Kerry, and we're going to be talking with her throughout this podcast, and I'll introduce her.
She has
Gwestai Arbennig, our special guest.
Lovely Overton.
Overton, well, I suppose is this Urbestock? It's Overton Urbestock, you know. It's one of those, but we'll have a bit of a chat about that as well, I think. I think that'd be a really good place to start, I reckon. But I think it's probably the right time to introduce Kerry. So, diolch am ddod, really. And it's...
Hyfryd
I yn hyfryd I gael ti yma, yeah. I didn't want to mention that you were in high school when I started teaching there. So I never got the pleasure of teaching you. But I've mentioned it now and I want to cry about it. I taught you you came as in the adult class, didn't you? So I did get that chance to teach you. It only took me about 10 years to get there, I think, wasn't it? But that's what it was. As much as I'd love to take credit for Kerry and what you will soon hear, her incredible Welsh language skills. She got all those skills before I met her, a good time before I met her, so it wasn't...
And actually, I lost quite a lot after we started teaching,
Don't chuck that in there. Brilliant.
See, you're not like in Indiana Jones, you're sort of irrelevant. You're
totally
like
irrelevant.
Well, actually, it was before that I spoke proper Welsh, and then after being in Stephen's class...
I'm just saying, we all say it like this, don't worry about it.
Speaking Wrexham Welsh, which is proper Welsh to a lot of people.
But most certainly is.
On this podcast.
I think it is important to have that as well, to have... be able to speak the local accent, be able to speak the local words, because it actually made me feel a lot more grounded in my Welsh. Instead of feeling like I was, I don't know, a learner, it made me feel like, no, I'm from Wrexham, I'm now talking like I'm from Wrexham.
So were you with a big South Walian, were you all like going all shemai and things, or...?
Yeah, and I still, do you know what, the one I always do is I'm always Llaeth and Llefrith, I use it interchangeably, and
in the North East we do use them, we do chuck them around, don't we, so... Them.
And actually, the difference is Llaeth is actually the proper word, I've looked it all up, and Llefrith is more like a sort of buttermilk sort of thing, so it's actually, we've been doing it wrong anyway, if we're thinking.
Well, then there are some people who treat Llaeth as, is it, which one is it, I always forget, one of them describes the milk as it comes out in raw, there and then, one of them is Llaeth, one's whatever.
I think that's,
and then there's another one where you sort of treat it and you sort of, and it's drinkable for consumable for human. They are indeed different, but it's a good one. But yeah, you're covering all bases, aren't you? I didn't just want to talk about, you know, and celebrate how wonderful your Welsh is. I want to talk about your iaith, your language journey to Cymraeg, and also mention about the group you set up in, I'm sorry to swear on the podcast, Chester
is one of the most beautiful
It is a very lovely place. It is a very lovely place.
It is lovely. And it's a lot more Welsh than people might think.
Yeah.
I agree. I definitely agree.
Most of my childhood.
That's very... It's a lovely place. It's just that as a Wrexham fan, we won promotion yesterday, it's...
technically, though, the football stadium in Chester is actually in Wales.
Very true.
And the Wales Coastal Path begins in Chester. I love that part of the books.
Also true. Also true.
It must begin in Chester. So, yeah.
No, spot on. Yeah, I suppose so. I'll let him off this time. So yeah, just croeso, wonderful. Yes, I believe you wanted to start with our onomastics.
Stop pretending you don't know.
Onomatopoeia.
That I gave.
No, you can't have notes.
So there's actually, they're very different. We said we were meeting in Overton, and it would seem that actually maybe we are not.
It's close. It's a mile. It's counted. It's fine.
It's part of Wrexham. So, County of Wrexham is obviously very big, and we have various different districts, if that's what you would call them. And Overton and Aberstock are some of those.
Okay.
Now, I thought I had misplaced my big book of Welsh place names.
I'm so glad you have it.
On the shelf.
Where it should be.
Tack lists and stuff going on, tidying up going on in Shays Wheeler at the minute. So according to the book here, this is the same. So basically, it means a settlement on the bank, which is quite.
It's quite apt for here, isn't it? Yeah.
I had never ever known that it's actually Overton on Dee. I'm quite surprised and almost disgusted with myself not knowing that. And this, I think, becomes because when you're growing up, you don't question things like place names around you, and you don't think, I wonder if it's the only Overton. I always thought it was the only Overton.
Yeah. Well, why wouldn't you?
Came to prepare to this podcast, and I just put Overton because I thought I'd lost the book, and I put Overton into Google. And it said Overton in Hampshire, and I was like, that's not right, actually. I think you'll find it's in Wales. And then when I was casting around using Wrexham as well, I then found it's actually called Overton on Dee. Uh-huh. So it's not just Overton. But anyways, it says here, settlement on the bank. So that's what most of the Overtons do mean.
Right.
So you've got... I don't know how you would pronounce that, O-U-E-R-T-O-N.
It depends, really, because the U might have been pronounced as a V sound in those days, so it may have still have been Overton, but it might have been Overton as well, hence the Welsh name Overton, so who knows?
I like the fact that in 1201, it was recorded as Overtone.
Overtone.
Oh, with an E at the end.
Bring that one back.
It's lots of fun. Orton in the 13th there century. There you go. That's that Cymraicization that you often get, like you did with Wrexham.
Exactly.
Things like that. So that's all it really says in there. But it was a lot of fun doing the things online because obviously there's a lot more. They only have a certain amount of space in a book. I've learned an awful lot, including that there are very many places in the world called Overton. It's a very sort of popular...
you say there was 19 or something? I could not believe that when you told me that.
There's one in Canada, some in the US.
Mad.
So you've got Overton in Hampshire... Looking at the etymology of Riverbank, let's see. Yeah, 19 places. There's only two in Wales. There's one here.
I couldn't believe there's another one. I didn't know there was another one, never mind.
Yeah, and I spent a lot of time, my childhood growing up in Swansea. Yeah. My grandparents from there. And I never knew that either,
The missing Overton.
Apologies to the people of Overton in southern Wales. We apologise. I'd never... come across
it.
I'll do some
platform in Harry Potter, you know, the one where you have to
the 9 3/4 sort of thing. Maybe that's what it is. I wonder if there's a river there as well. I presume there must be.
Well, yeah, because that's what it means. So that's why there's so many.
Is Abertawe, isn't it?
Well,
it
could be actually. Maybe it is over the tower. Someone's going to need to tell us. I'm looking forward to finding out.
Yeah, so one of the things I noted there was every time we're looking into these place names, they pretty much, even though it's things like ham or ton, they all mean the same thing. They all sort of refer to water and a settlement, where a settlement is in relation to the water. So it's like a popular way of naming places back at the time when they were sort of solidifying these places.
Yeah.
So that's very interesting. Am I allowed to use my anecdote now? Am I allowed to?
I am actually looking forward to your anecdote, so I would be sad if you didn't use it now.
So I don't know where I put the marble now. I think I must have put it in my pocket or put it away.
Possibly in there.
So here's a nice shiny little marble.
Yes, tell us more.
So this week I went to Llandudno Wells, and I went there for a gweithdy, a workshop. And the whole workshop was in English.
Okay.
But it was for a scheme, a mentor scheme that I've been a part of. I was a mentee. And they basically did lots of these sorts of things where they give you like patches of materials and, you know, feathers and things like that. And you have
I'm with you.
And they said, sit here, we're all sat in a circle, and you need to plot your path to the middle to represent like what your journey has been like on the mentor scheme. And I thought this was quite simple. I thought it was like a few seconds. I picked up things like a rock and some seashells and things like this. And I made a little pathway. And this one woman had been talking about woodlands, like she'd come over from Africa somewhere. And she was talking about the sort of the jungle of the creative sphere in Wales, stuff like that. So I used this piece of fabric that looked like a little bit like a woodlands. And I had plotted this way. And then I was sat there and everyone was still doing theirs. There were some people just looking, going, oh, I don't know how to do it. So I wrote a poem, and I wrote my poem in Welsh, obviously. And then, so at the end, I rolled my little marble along my little journey, because I was the marble, so symbolised by the marble. And then I read my poem, and part of the poem at the end, I was talking about the fact that my mentor had I was sort of saying, but where is the melody, Ble Maralau, and that I would learn this from my mentor. And I read that out, and then I explained it in English, and in the break sort of time, everybody, loads of people were speaking Welsh to me, because it turned out there was loads of people there speaking Welsh or learning Welsh.
Just because you sort of raised the fact you speak, and then all of a sudden
it's
you
like
do.
A switch.
This is why I tell people, say diolch every time, and then somebody will stop you, but it's great when it happens.
Saying to me in fluent Welsh, I'm trying to learn Welsh, and I was thinking, it sounds to me like you've already learned
I love those moments.
You know, there's no accent at all, you know, they just sound completely Welsh. And this one guy was sat next to me, we'd already worked out that we'd met before a few years ago at the Bardas Gwyl Gerall, which is like a conference. He was doing the filming for that, and what he had noted from the poem was the word alau, and he said, so does that mean melody then? And I went off, unfortunately went off into this whole thing about alau and awel, the bees,
of course.
And awen, and I said, awen, going on, he went, that's a bit complicated for me. And he said, but alau, that means melody. And he said, do you know Alau Griffiths? She's on the telly and things now. She's got a book about weddings, planning weddings and things. But she did used to work for Bardas at the time. And I said, oh, yeah, I see. And I said, yes, I do. And that is, that name means melody. And so that was a new word that he was going to be able to retain in his mind now, because he was associating
I suppose,
that with
once
her.
You, that's what it's all about, I suppose, associations. Like we were just talking before we started this, weren't we, about this podcast, about sort of how we... Sometimes you want things to be explained. As a learner of Welsh, you want things to be explained to you. And as soon as you get that explanation, even if you never remember the explanation of why a word means this or does this or mutates like this, just because you've had some sort of, you know, knowledge of where it's come from, you tend to remember it a lot more. You tend to retain that information
definitely.
A lot more. And having a conversation about things definitely makes things stick, I think. And
contextualization.
Exactly. So, even if you forget the context, you know, I think you still do it. Which is why I sort of, one of my philosophies in life is, I think, you know, I think it's just as important to talk about the Welsh language as it is to talk in the Welsh language.
Yeah,
you know,
that's exactly it.
You know, it's really, really important thing to talk about things, and they tend to stick a bit more in the head, I think, don't they?
Yeah, but also when you're learning something else, you can apply it so much easier if you actually understand.
Yeah.
That's
yes.
Yeah, the etymology. You make those connections and things like that.
You know,
definitely.
I think I remember the first few times that I would read a Welsh word that I didn't know, and rather than reach for like my phone to translate it, or, you know, I was going to say reach for a dictionary. I don't actually own a Welsh dictionary. I don't know why I was going to say that.
That's mad with your level of Cymraeg.
That's what it is.
Reach for the dictionary. I remember the first few times I'd read a word and be like, right, what's that actually mean? And see bits of the word and be like, okay, well, I know that, you know, if it ends in ur, it's probably somebody doing something. So what's the start of it? Okay. And then being able
to knowing those...
And knowing
morphemes, the little parts
morphemes.
Of words.
Yes.
Isn't that right,
go.
Isn't it? That's right,
know.
Isn't
yeah,
it? I'm sure, it's like, sure it means
so.
A part
yeah.
of a word. So gwaethi, like you said before, would come from gwaith, work, and tea, house.
Yeah.
Exactly that.
Yeah.
So it's a place where work happens, sort of thing. So yeah, I think Gosh, I'm saying it on the podcast now. I'm sure it's called a morphine.
Workhouse rather than workshop.
Yeah, that's true, actually. Gwaith shop. Shop, gwaith, gwaith.
That's maybe why, because our word for shop comes from...
Shopper.
A very odd word,
Middle English.
That's
actually, yeah, that's true.
Maybe it probably
meant something different. Though, yeah. In fact, the Cornish word for a shop, I think, is gwerth g, with a g coming from chi, t, house, you know?
I think he's making that up.
You are welcome to. Well, yeah, I'm pretty certain it is.
This is where you then get into it and you think, well, the English word is not really that.
Maybe shop meant something different. I mean,
I think a lot of the time people couldn't have their own space at home, so maybe it was an actual workshop that if they wanted to use a workbench or work, whatever, they'd go to a workshop where they could use those kind of communal things.
Now there's a shout. We're putting a lot on our listeners today,
aren't we? Where people go, like, farriers and, you know, or, you know, people would actually have their own workspace.
Yeah. Maybe that's what it...
Or right. Maybe the word shop has changed over years.
That's what I'm thinking, I'm sure it was spelled S-H-O-P-P-E, I think, in Middle English, at least. I'm certain. Mm-hmm. But, I think... I wanted to bring up as well when we talked about Overton is that actually Sarah and I have met Mike Parker, absolute hero, and I was lucky enough to be on Radio 4 with him, and the reason I bring that up, and I've actually got his book next to me that he signed for me, I'm so happy, called All the Wide Border. It's absolutely amazing book, and the reason I bring it up is because he mentioned this part of Wales as a sort of no man's land, in the way that sort of this place it traded hands so often between different people and different leaders and tribes and fighters and whoever else, that a lot of people, and it's in the psyche of the people here, don't really know how to identify or don't want to commit to identifying themselves as something as English or Welsh or
I'm very much similar,
I don't even want to talk about something Kerry's heritage and where she comes from, it's just she's from everywhere, I am half English. My mother's from
Chester.
I can't do it. You know, my dad's from Wrexham. So there's been a time when I didn't know what my sort of background was and things like that. And I just sort of clung to the Welsh language as having a link to community rather than wondering whether I'm Welsh or not. But I was just wondering, Kerry, who's obviously you've not so much grown up here in this area. You definitely went to school here and things like that. And it's a big part of your life. I was just intrigued to see what you think of what Mike said in that sense of being a little bit no man's landy. Is there any sort of comment on that?
Yeah, I think it's interesting because it's, you know, there's actually a lot of Welsh history in this area. Mm. You know, I was just saying before, down the road in the village of Hanmer is actually where Owain Glyndŵr got married. You know, it's always had a very historical Welsh identity still. But yeah, you're right, it has changed hands over the years quite a lot. And even over the border into England, some areas there, Oswestry, still has a massive Welsh community as well.
Our shop Cullum over there.
Yeah,
we love those guys.
So you know, there is. It's. I think it goes both ways. It's not just on the Welsh side.
I agree.
But I do think. I think there's a bit of truth to it. I mean, I was saying before, neither of my parents are from Wales. Mm. My mum's from the Highlands of Scotland. My dad's parents are a mix of Welsh, English, and Irish. He was born in Southern England, and then they've all moved back to South Wales. And so for me, I don't really, I'm very British, but I suppose for me, I grew up in Wales. I was born here. To me, that makes me Welsh. I feel Welsh.
Well, that's enough for me.
You know, and that's where I am. But I think one of the interesting places where the line gets drawn is for sports. So in Overton,
that's true.
It's so the Six Nations.
The only time they'll really jump off the fence, I think, isn't it?
And
for grounds.
nice.
And the one thing I will say is my stepdad is English, and go down in the local pub, and he'll say he's the only one there supporting England.
That's
which
mad.
I think says a lot. But
it does actually.
But I don't know how much of that is just
they do actually support Wales.
Yeah. Okay. Or how much are just the English supporters scared of going to the pub and
or are people or sort of, you know, feel more connection to Wales as maybe as an underdog thing. Everyone loves an underdog story. Maybe there's a bit of that as well. I don't know. It may well be, you know.
In terms of sports, you see, my brother, because where my parents lived here, right on the border, when he was born, they took my mum to the hospital over the border. So he was born technically in England, even though my parents lived in Wales, because that's where the hospital was. Yeah. So
you're going to get a lot of that everywhere. I'm not going to do it now, obviously, but, you know, obviously there's a border now, an official in you know, inverted commas, there's an official border. But when you think of the linguistic border of sort of where you'd find the most sort of Welsh speakers in certain pockets and things, you'd be drawing a very, very different border if you were to follow where the language is. You'd be cutting into parts of Wales where there isn't a great deal of Welsh, and cutting into England where there is.
And exactly. You wouldn't really have one border, would you?
Yeah. No. And there'd definitely be a lot of enclaves along the border, I think, which is really, really interesting.
I would say there's not a lot of Welsh language speaking in Overton that I've heard. Yeah. But interestingly, there is a local Welsh group who meets in Overton. Milo Welsh group meet in Overton once a month at the cafe there.
Yeah.
So there is this history, but it's sometimes just finding it. I think that you have to look for it.
But that's pretty much the same as Wrexham. I mean, okay, there's the Saith Seren and the Club Clebran, and then there's all the people that go to Capel y Groes. But for most of us, you know, we came out through the school gates, and it was only really family that I spoke Welsh to. I didn't know anybody else really who spoke Welsh. And she certainly wouldn't have spoken it in the 80s and 90s walking around town in Wrexham because there was a lot of anti-Welshness, really. Sentiment. Not even people not speaking Welsh, but they're still there, you know. I did get that hassle when I sang in Welsh in the Saith Seren. So,
it's mad, isn't it?
You're going to find it. But I see it on my Instagram thing and things like that, you know, people. But the thing is, for me, that the unfortunate thing for them, I guess, is that I do quite enjoy having people say something like that.
I don't like conflict in that way. I'd rather just be able to do my own thing.
I say enjoy it, that makes you sound awful, but like, I do, for 99% of the time, you can end up having a conversation with these people, and I'm not saying they're going to go off and download Duolingo there and then, but you can sort of, it's nice to have those conversations and see different sides of the story. You know, there are people out there who don't love Welsh as much as
a lot of shoulder and jealousy. There is a little bit of that, because there's a lot of perception like, oh, well, you're a Welsh speaker, so you'll just be able to get a book deal and get all this. And I'm like, really not.
It doesn't work like that at all.
I just applied for something with Theatre Clue. I didn't even get an interview for it. It's just, you know.
Yeah.
But I
did get that when I, so obviously, you know, I organised this Welsh group in Chester as well, and
I just love the house.
I'm coming on to this in a minute, Kerry. You're jumping ahead of me.
We're on the subject of I've got a post before. I put it out on local Facebook groups in Chester for people to see and find out and I've had people commenting on it. Oh, why is there a Welsh night in Chester? Why is this pub having a Welsh night? And, you know, I'm just like...
It's like you've proposed, like, I don't know, satanic rituals. Like, you don't want to come, don't you?
You don't have to come.
You are welcome to stay at home.
It's almost an outrage. And that was the feeling these two guys had, was that I shouldn't have come to a night that wasn't a Welsh night and sung in Welsh. And it was like, and I mean, even if we take out of the equation the fact that it's supposed to be a safe space for Welsh speaking, it's sort of like, why would it bother you? Whereas I'm part of Voice Box, and I've pitched up there and just said, I'm going to sing in Welsh. I'm just kind of all like apologising and things. And people are like, oh, fair play.
Yeah.
And really just thought, that's interesting. That's a bit different. That's a bit... So it's just like different mindsets, isn't it? Sort of. I'm sure there'll be some people in Chester going, wow, that's really interesting.
Of course they will. Of course.
And there's, you know, I know for a fact that there are Spanish nights and French nights at different places around Chester.
Exactly. I'm sure nobody gives them any abuse.
The Armada's back.
And then I think one of the comments was something along the lines of, oh, well, what would you say if I went to Wales and asked for an English night? And it's like,
there's already English spoken there. I mean, obviously, yeah, exactly. They may very well be.
You're welcome to use your English
meeting
as much as you like in our country.
You know, anybody who doesn't speak English yet, I'm sure there probably are nights for those people to learn English as quickly as they can.
For the most part, though, when I sort of see these comments and things like that, you can have a conversation with people, and like I say, I'm not saying you're going to change their mind entirely, but you know, you do get to a point where you can both sort of agree, at least to disagree in some occasions. But it doesn't bother me, is what I should say. I think
the one thing, and I'm sorry, I'm backtracking here a bit, but I just
let's do this.
So the one thing I would also say about
we meandered just like the Avon Dovrdwy, I think. I would
like an explanation of why we can't say Avon.
No, you can say Avon. It's just when you refer to a specific Avon, you would never say
Avon Dovrdwy.
Yeah, you just say Avon Dovrdwy. Because it's
came
already
about on one of our pods. We did talk about this because I had written a poem in Bardas magazine, and Tom Morris, the editor, had taken the off, and I was thinking, so instead of Dilynwr Dovrdwy, the follower
of the D,
he'd taken that off, so it's just Dilynwr Dovrdwy.
Yeah.
So I came on the pod and asked Smarty Pants over here who did know the answer because he'd learnt about it in university.
That was university, yeah. It's only because it, when you give it a name, it makes it definite because there's only one of those rivers then.
Mm-hmm.
However,
well,
there is a D in Scotland, as far as I know. But so you make it definite, so you then don't need the definite article to sort. But that's
and it winds people up that do know that if you do put the in front.
It doesn't bother me. The thing is, when I speak, I say it with so many times. But
I'm not going to now. So
I'll be very sure not to. but one thing I was going to say about Welsh identity in this area is, you were talking, Sarah, about schools. There's not a Welsh local Welsh primary school around here.
Welsh medium, you mean?
Welsh medium school. There's not. No, the closest ones. There's one in Kevin Mawr way.
There's
a couple like Roast that way.
Yeah, yeah.
But if a family wanted their child to go to a Welsh speaking school and they lived in this area, they would need to drive every day, which is it's quite. It's a barrier.
It's a barrier. So that's true.
Do you think then, if there was at least a Welsh medium school in the vicinity, do you think then there might be a bit of a change of identity?
Would.
Do you think?
I do. I think that young people have a massive impact. First of all, families, if they want their children to speak Welsh, would be much more likely to move here if they knew that their children could go to a Welsh primary school.
True.
They'd also, you know, parents want their children to go to a good school. Yes, there might be some parents who are sticklers too. I only want my children to go to an English-speaking school.
Yeah,
which,
of course.
If they are not Welsh-speaking, you can understand.
Totally.
But there are plenty of parents as well who would say, well, it's a Welsh medium school, I don't speak Welsh, but yeah, I'll send my children there. It's a good, you know. And so even if, obviously, Overton, it already has a primary school, it might not be big enough, but there are loads and loads of villages around here where... Mm. Actually, there are pockets.
Oh, most definitely, there are pockets. I mean, there's a lot of students who come to the school, obviously your former school where I work now, and you know they're Welsh speaking at home and things like that, and they've moved here from a Welsh speaking. So there are people.
I wonder if you looked at the stats, how many people from this area do travel into Wrexham? Because there's six schools there, isn't it? Mm. Obviously, six primary schools. But I wonder if you looked into it, whether there's a load of people coming down the hill and coming into Wrexham from here, and whether it would make more sense for them to open one locally.
Very true, actually. I would know. Yeah,
that'd be an interesting research project for someone's PhD.
It would, actually.
Wrexham-based PhD.
Definitely not for me.
Did you want to talk about Herbestock?
Well, the only thing, I've never done any... I only know what you told me about 20 minutes before we started recording this, really. But every time I pass it, I see the sign. And I know there's a place called Churchstoke in southern Wales. And I always think of Herbestock as sort of... I see the ER in it. And I think it's... I always liken it to in Welsh, the.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the Bistock, the bit in there, I always...
This is where
I lose it though, because I always think that it can mutate to v in Welsh, which then can also be softened into a w and then disappear over time. So what I'm thinking is it just yr ystog, which is the same name for Church Stoke? No, it isn't.
No. Okay. But there's Welshification or a Cymraegization yr ystog there at the end.
Yeah.
But actually, no, it comes from the English, so the sort of bit that kind of means hamlet or settlement again, all of these.
The Stoke, Stock, they all mean the same thing.
All the same thing. But the bit that I liked was the identity of Erp is unknown. So basically, it's a bit like Wrexham, where it was Rutel,
Ruthel and all that
his,
sort of stuff.
Watery meadow. Well, this actually, someone called Erp, like Wyatt Erp.
That'd be lovely if that was it.
It's his hamlet or settlement. Just after it's being likened to this person. So you said on your message that you did know something very interesting about Erbistock.
I did. So the only interesting thing was that I was totally making it up, that's exactly where it came from. But before I pester Sarah to hear her poem, of course. If you wouldn't mind, that'd be lovely. I am going to pester Kerry a little bit more. And we're actually going to do the part that our guests are on for, even though I'm really glad that Kerry's jumped in and out all the way through. So, no, but you are somebody I want to celebrate. And everybody who gets as far as you, or maybe doesn't even get as far as you, should be celebrated. And if we can do a little bit of that on the pod, then I'm very, very happy to do so. Mm-hmm. So I thought I'd first ask Yn Gymraeg, os ti ddim yn meindio, if you don't mind, os ti ddim yn meindio. I thought I'd chuck at you just wondering why you've learned and sort of mention a little bit about what it means to you and maybe a little bit about how you got there, I suppose, and we'll do a bit in English as well. So essentially, Kerry, pam nes ti ddysgu Cymraeg? Because ti'n rhugl. Fluent, ti'n rhugl rwan.
No, diolch. Dwi ddim yn taimlo rhugl o gwbl. Na, mae'n wir. Mae'n wahanol am ddysgwr, achos mae'n ddim, like, fel pwynt. Lle,
Ti'n meddwl, dwi'n rhugl rwan?
Ie, dwi'n rhugl. Mae'n...
Ti'n gweld y broses, dwi?
Ie, yn dod drwy ar y cymlau a dweud, llongfachiadau, ti'n,
Siarad
yn rhugl.
I was wondering whether that was...
Efo sword mawr a, ceremony.
Ceremony
mawr, yeah. Mae'n hwyl, actually.
There was a board yr un hefo'r cleddyf.
Yeah. Hefo'r cleddyf mawr. Llongfachiadau. Arise as a Welsh speaker, math o fe. Yeah. No, but I'm point da, actually, because mae'n wahanol i gwahanol bobl.
Yeah.
Mae pobl yn dewis ar amseroedd gwahanol pryd maen nhw'n rhugl, os o gwbl. So pam, beth sy'n stopio ti rhaid teimlo'n rhugl then?
Mae'n dibynnu. Weithiau dwi'n teimlo fel, dwi'n deall popeth. Yeah. A fod yn onest, siarad efo pobl fel chi sy'n deall sut i siarad i ddysgwyr, mae'n haws i teimlo, dwi'n siarad, dwi'n gwybod popeth, achos mae'n bosib i gael sgwrs rhugl efo chi.
Okay.
Ond, weithiau dwi'n siarad i rywun sy'n siarad am eich iaith cyntaf.
Ie. Yeah.
A'n mae nhw'n siarad yn gyflym, a dwi ddim yn deall popeth, a dwi ddim yn,
a ti'n mynd yn nerfus, a frustrated,
Ond mae hynna'n digwydd weithiau, jyst o'r rhan be bynnag di register yng Nghymraeg, fatha yn Saesneg mae'n digwydd, os dwi'n siarad efo rywun sydd, fatha, dwi'n ni, maen nhw efo Queen's English, a maen nhw'n gwbl really clyfar, a maen nhw di astudio rhywbeth Shakespearean neu be bynnag. Oedd hyd yn oed, oedd Iwan Berry, mae fo yn barth o Wrexham, oedd yn neud yr open mic, fo'dd yr key feature. Ac oedd hyd yn oed i Saesneg, oedd o'n neud un yng Nghymraeg, oedd ni fatha, wow, amazing. Yeah. Ond hyd yn oed y Saesneg, nath David Sbacki dweud, mae hyd yn oed hwnna'n really uchel, fel lot o Shakespearean language a pethau fel yna. Dwi'n weithio, dwi'n cael hynna efo pobl
Saesneg. Efo Saesneg,
os gyda ddim syniad be wyt ti'n siarad am, neu fi'n just ddefnyddio un neu ddau o gyd efo soporific. Nath yng ngwrdd ddefnyddio'r gair soporific yn ddechrau i weld o. A dwi'n gynnu fatha be?
A dwi'n ddechrau, os mae rhywun yn ddefnyddio gair dwi ddim yn gwybod, dwi'n, ddechrau like meddwl yn Saesneg, oh, berwr, gai, be, oh, dwi ddim yn, you know, dwi ddim yn deall. Oh, okay, and then wedyn, mae nes i...
ti'n methu, like, 30 eiliad o'r sgwrs, dwi?
Ti'n bagli allan o'r sgwrs.
Bagli, yn bendant.
Maen nhw wedi, you know...
Wedi siarad am rhywbeth arall, ie.
..y brawddeg, a dwi'n meddwl, oh, well, yeah, dwi'n nes i misio popeth rhywun, you know, dwi ddim... yeah, mae'n wahanol, and, you know, a hefyd, os mae'n na topic, dwi ddim yn... gwybod y geiriau, you know, fel rhywbeth o'n
newyddion.
Mae'n anodd wedyn, dydy. Hysgota.
Hysgota, ie.
Yeah, OK, yeah. You know, dyrnod i dyrnod, dwi'n tamlo
hyder
yn siarad efo bobl am bethau. Ond just, yeah, mae'n just weithiau, dwi'n siarad am rhywun, and mae'n amhosib i mi i, you know, achos...
O'ch chi'n meddwl pobl ifanc rhywun, cos mae lot o geiriau, er enghraifft, mae'r gair sick yn golygu da. Mae hyn yn oed neith fi, oedd hi fatha, keep saying it's sick, and, you know, dwi'n eisiau siarad fel yna. Ond wedyn, dyna byd i pwrpas llyfrau fel y Clockwork Orange, lle mae'n deud, fatha dyma'r fatha'r... y tafodiaeth mae'r pobl ifanc yn siarad nes at y pwynt lle os ydych chi ddim yn person ifanc os gyda chi ddim syniad mewn o'r fforam
yn hollol
amdano
na, mae'n pwynt fantastic actually. I think it'll probably resonate with a lot of people listening the things you say and about, I don't know, one day you feel like yeah I've done it and the next day you're just punched in the face with some different dialect and 100 mile an hour and then all of a sudden it's
and Welsh is so regional,
you
know. Yeah.
Sometimes you'll hear somebody from another place in Wales, and they'll just be using completely different words, different grammar structure, different, you know, everything. And I'll be listening, and I'm like, I can't understand it at all.
I think, it's not a bugbear of mine, but I think, you know, I think there's so much more that connects all the Welsh dialects. They are very similar, very, very similar. However,
you did gweld yr amdro ni arni. Ti di gwylio'r rhaglen?
Dwi heb.
I'm looking.
Oh dear. Well,
ar y dechrau, mae nhw'n dangos y fideos o'ch gilydd.
Yeah.
Ac oedd mae hi yma o Betws y Coed ac oedd Hugh o Pembrokeshire yma yna.
Yeah.
Sir Benfro.
Yeah.
Ac oedd hi jyst yn gwylio fideo fo. A mae'n y le y dau gwaith lle mae jyst yn sbio'r camera jyst dweud jyst gyda ddim syniad beth o bobl o'r pe yn sôn am. Jyst gyda
ddim syniad beth o'r siarad. I don't know whether I go along with that. A lot of people on my Instagram will ask me like, they'll say, oh, is there a... They'll ask me these two words and stuff, and then I'll be like, it'll literally just be, it's nothing to do with regional, but they'll ask me, oh, is this because of North and South, just because, and it feels sort of like that's people's first port of call sometimes, and a lot of the time it is, to be honest, but...
But I suppose I've become familiar with Southern dialects because I watch a lot of telly.
Yeah,
I suppose
there's a lot
so.
Of that sort of pobl Welsh.
A hefyd, weithiau dwi'n teimlo fel mae'n y tel i mi, achos dwi'n ddefnyddio y grammar o'r Gogledd Cymru, you know, ond weithiau... achos na, mi'n ai, you know, ella, os dwi ddim yn gwybod y geir, dwi'n ddefnyddio Google Translate neu rhywbeth i ffeindio y geir. Ond... weithiau mae'n geir, like...
O'r de.
O'r de.
Oh, yeah.
And dwi'n ddefnyddio, a mae pobl yn, like, you know, edrych anna fi fel, oh, be. And mae'n, dwi'n meddwl mae'n y tel dysgwr dwi.
Na, ond dwi'n gwneud hyn. A peth ydy, mae tafodiaeth Rolls Hanna Chrigog yn mix o, dwi'n deud pethau fel ffwdan, a mae hwnna'n gair o'r de. Ond dyna'r gair fyswn i'n defnyddio. Cos nad lot o bobl o'r de symud
i Rolls Hanna Chrigog, am gwaith a pethau. So.
Yeah.
Ond mae'n rhai geiriau tafodiaethol y de sydd ddim yn y geiriadur. A mae Andrew Taylor newydd sgwennu llyfr. Dwi'n gallu dallt fwy jyst yn gwrando, ond mae fo newydd sgwennu llyfr o Straeon Fer, ac wrth gwrs mae fo o'r de, Hywel Llywelyn Pobl y Cwm. Ac nes i gorau, o'n i bron pob un gair yn y stori cyntaf, a wedyn un gair,
ond
ddim yn y geiriadur, ddim o'r geiriadur, ond nes i gorau roi o ar Facebook y peth iaith yna.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Rhyw chwech diwrnod oedd pobl oedd yna pobl yn dŵad yn ôl ymlaen ac yn deud dwi byth di gweld y gair yna a pobl eraill yn trio bod yn helpful fatha wyt ti'n golygu hwn yn lle a rhyw gair
gwahanol this is the one I mean
na dwi'n gwybod beth hwnna a wedyn nath o ateb ei hun a dwi'n teulu logio mewn
no
way a wedyn yna dal pobl yn dadle cys di pobl ddim yn sbio ar y thread a gyfer rhyw chwech diwrnod oedd yna pobl yn cys maen nhw'n deud fatha o Aben TV a dwi ddim wedi
clywed
y gair yna a wedyn yna un neu ddau ohonyn nhw wedi clywed y gair felly oedd o'n gair reit esoteric ond mae yna lot o geiriau fel yna a dwi wedi gorau stopio darllen o cos dwi wedi bod yn gwneud lot o bethau eraill ond dwi efallai yn mynd i eistedd lawr a paratoi geirfa gog iddo fo just dweud os da chi am ddarllen y llyfr yma da chi angen y geirfa yma
vocab section yeah.
Di'r geiriau yma ddim yn bodoli yn y geiriau dyron chwaith felly maen nhw'n tafodifol iawn o'n i'n teimlo fel fod o ddim yn Gymraeg o'n i'n teimlo fod wedi cael ei sgwennu fel Clockwork Orange cos o'n i ddim yn gallu dilyn y stori cos oedd yr iaith mor wahanol so dyna fo
dwi'n sgwennu efo pensel pan dwi'n you know darllen llyfr Cymraeg, achos mae rhaid i mi, like, chwilio am gyfar a ysgwennu nhw. Ond yn pensil achos, you know, I'm not a monster.
Dwi ddim yn plygu y tudalen, dwi ddim yn ysgrifennu mewn llyfrau.
Gwerthu fy llyfrau.
Na, dwi ddim.
Mae neb yn darllen nhw, you know, except fi, ond...
Ie, ar wahan i fi, ie, ie, ie.
Ie, ond ti'n misio dynistio nhw.
Na, gwrs.
Dwi'n fan mawr o hen lyfrau prynu nhw, ac wedyn ti yn gael... Mae un o ddau o bethau yn y margins o bethau'n reit neis, ddo, cos ti'n gweld pwy sydd wedi cael y llyfr.
Ie, dwi'n teimlo fel hwnna efo graffiti. Like, pryd mae graffiti yn troi yn... Ddim just celf, ond troi yn hanes hefyd.
Ie,
you know what I mean? Like... Yeah.
Dwi'n ddim yn neis os mae'n y graffiti ar y tŷ ydych chi'n byw yn ei wneud.
Nag oes yn amlwg, na.
Yeah. Cas.
Ond mae yn...
Ond pethau ar y way...
Foment mewn amser, dydy.
Mae'n pethau rili
neis. Ie, ti'n meddwl, mae hwnna'n hanes, ydy. Oedd rhywun yn teimlo fel bod nhw isio wneud hwn. Anyway, I'm not getting into...
Nes i clywed am stori, oddi wrth, dwi'n meddwl, like, eglwys yn Europe.
Yeah.
And, mi wnaethon nhw ffeindio writings. How to say writing is like a...
Ysgrifen, no, I suppose.
Ysgrifen.
Ysgrifen, yeah.
Ysgrifen, yn like a tro. Like, ysgrifen, hen,
iawn, yeah.
Like, dwi'n cofio. Roedd yn Norse.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Felly, yn efo runes. And... you know, obviously, mi wnaethon nhw ateb y prifysgol neu rhywbeth i dod i translatio y runes a weld be mae...
Also Nordic runes, yeah.
Yeah. And it said, so-and-so was here.
No!
Love it!
Yes! Brilliant!
Mae'n efo pan ddech chi'n gwylio rhaglenni sef yn anthropologist a maen nhw yn cyfarfod y pobl blodorol am y tro cynta. A oedd un ohonyn nhw wedi trio canu. Oedd o'n meddwl, efallai fod hwnna, fatha, a maen nhw actually yn rhoi'r translation a maen nhw'n deud fatha what leap singing. A wedyn mae'r llall yn deud, mae gan o'n leap. Basically, do'n i ddim yn meddwl llawer iawn o'i ganu o. A fydd o'r ffyrdd yn trio cawr efo the first contact, maen nhw'n just fatha,
Brilliant, I love it.
Mae'n neis i ddim ateb dy cwestiwn di.
No,
pam dysgu Cymraeg?
Pam dysgu Cymraeg? For the reason to have that conversation, Kerry, that was why we did this. I suppose we could do this bit in English, I suppose, as well. You know, what's it been like up to now? If you say that you're still learning and you're still taking things on and taking things in, and what's it been like up to now, whether you believe me that I say you're fluent or not?
So I did, when I was in school, they didn't have compulsory Welsh GCSE. So I chose to do Welsh language GCSE. I didn't choose it for my A-levels, which is something I still regret, and I think I should have done. I was set on doing the sciences and all the sciences.
Oh, no, well, there we go then.
But if I think if somebody had actually talked to me about what my future options were and said, keep it open. And I think at that time I probably would have done, because at the time I was so like, oh, okay, well, I want to do sciences, so I have to do all the sciences and maths. Whereas actually I could have done.
You'll find a lot of people, that still happens now, and a lot of people sort of, and there is this sort of underlying push of people that sort of say, well, if you're going to do sixth form, you have to do the sciences. And it's just sort of this unwritten rule that seems to keep being passed down to, you know, I did Welsh and the sciences. That was my A-levels. I did physics, chemistry and maths.
Sciences or maths.
But that's what I did. And but I don't know why, because I loved history and I wanted to do German and French. And I'm like, why didn't I do those? I don't know what it was that stopped me.
Those subjects are so difficult and only a certain amount of people are able to do them. So if you can do them, then it's a good thing if you can do them.
I think at the time I was
All A-levels are really difficult. No matter what it is, there isn't one that I'd say, oh, that's easy, I'm getting a...
But I think it depends on your type of person you are,
doesn't it? Most definitely, but you'll find a lot of people who are very artsy going down that road of sciences.
And I think that's what I did, was because... The thing is, when I did my GCSEs, I was equally good at everything. I kind of didn't have a standout subject. I did get a star on my Welsh GCSE.
I only got an A.
but I was kind of equally good at everything. And so they were like, well, you're academic... Go do sciences.
Yeah.
Instead of actually kind of looking at, you can still be academic and do other things. So I didn't do Welsh A level. I really regretted it.
You shouldn't regret it, because look at you now.
It's the mosaic.
I mean, I could have saved several years of my life of studying. So I didn't do that. And then I moved around the world a lot. I've lived in Malta, I've lived in China, and
jealous.
Please don't ask me to speak Chinese, and because I can't.
That's a very hard
I got as far as being able to read a menu in terms of.
That's not bad.
It took me a lot of time and effort to do that, but and then I came back. I was in Manchester. I was a teacher. I didn't really have time just for hobbies and all of that.
No.
And then COVID happened, and COVID was a real reset for me. At the start of March 2020. I had a job up in Manchester, I had a house up in Manchester, I had a car. By the end of March, my car had been written off. I was back living with my parents in Overton, unemployed. Wow. It was literally a month, and my life was just like completely
exactly how it wasn't,
down. And but it was actually, in hindsight, because I'd handed my notice in as a teacher up there and wanted to move. I wasn't sure what I wanted to do, but then in hindsight, that having to reset my life has been worked out so brilliantly. I came back and I ended up getting a job for a local charity, Cheshire Young Carers, and at the time they also were looking after North Wales Young Carers.
Yes.
I moved to Chester, and at that point I had so much free time compared to when I was a teacher. Working for North Wales Young Carers, I wanted to be able to build up my Welsh skills, and I found the Welsh courses, and I was like, oh, okay, I could do that. And as well, my partner at the time was from Carnarvon and spoke Welsh, so I had that kind of other connection.
Yeah.
But I wanted to learn it for me. I'd always wanted to learn it, but it was suddenly just a kind of moment of my life where it was like,
now's the time.
I've got time. I've got, you know, it's this course is cheap. And it was £45.
And it would help, it would help you for your job as well.
It helped for my job. It was, you know, just kind of like, why not?
A lot of things pointed in that direction for you.
And I thought I was going to sign up for this course and I'd do a year. And then,
oops.
4 years later, here I am. I started doing, you know, I've been to Nanbar Thain a few times. I've been to Glanllyn, and I think that what I got out of it was actually so much more than I thought. I've got friends. I've got a community out of it. I feel like it's as an intellectual, you know, purpose for myself. It's given me. Something to work towards. You know, I think that when you become an adult, it's still really important to learn new things.
100%.
It keeps your brain active. It keeps you, you know, it's just something that it's nice to have ticking over and to be using my brain to learn things still.
And that's actually been the subject of a study, isn't it? Bilingualism is supposed to be good for your brain. I think it's to do with, not strokes, but Alzheimer's a thing, something like that. Actually, I had a T-shirt recently. It said bilingual brains are healthier. And it's actually from this study that somebody had done. It's
massive, and there's so many benefits to it. And I'm just sad that when you went through the whole story there, which was beautiful, by the way, and there were so many things that you're bringing up there that I was just like, oh my god, that was me too when I was learning Welsh, and I love this. The only sad thing is you didn't mention that I taught you for a year.
Oh yeah, we mentioned that at the beginning. I didn't think I'd need to mention it again.
Just wanted to hear it from you, actually. Okay.
Yes.
And, when was it? It was only a couple of years ago now, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. So I as well, I've been a bit of a... I can't think of the word. Not Judas, but yeah, Judas.
Total letdown.
I have changed Welsh tutor every single year that I've been... I've not stuck with a tutor more than a year. It's not anything personal. Stephen actually quit the year that he was teaching me.
I just... Taking a break, Kerry.
Yes, okay.
Taking a break.
I do like to think it's nothing to do with me.
It was all you.
But it was, yeah, so I've literally had a different tutor every single year.
There's positives to that as well. There's positives to having consistency. Yeah, there's also positives to having different experiences.
I will say it's nothing to do with any of the individual tutors. It was because I was changing, I've changed classes, I've changed nights that I've done it, and I've changed...
There's only one common denominator here, Kerry, and... He's looking at you. There were so many lovely things you mentioned in that as well. And it was ace to teach you as well. And your Welsh was always really, really strong. And I knew I could definitely pester you if I was looking for an answer that I wasn't getting anywhere else. But there's one more thing, if you don't mind, before I'm really excited to hear. I'm still waiting to hear Sarah's to hear her poem. However, you did something that I sort of say to people. And I really try and push it this way, and I try and tell people this is something you should do if you're interested in it. And nobody ever does, and I get it, because it's a commitment, it's massive, it's really difficult to do. But I say to people, look, if you can't find a little crew to go and speak Welsh to, start one. Why not? Mm-hmm. Start one. There may be people out there who have done it without me telling them or what, but... obviously there are. They wouldn't have been here otherwise, would they? But... To go and do that, to show that you, look, I really want to use this so much. I really want to give something to the community and the community of Welshness and the things around me. Start a group. And you just went and did it. Very hostile. Please tell us about that, because honestly, I'm going to sound really patronising if I say that I'm proud of you for it. But honestly... It makes my heart smile every time I think about it. It's like you did it, and you offer that, and it's really well supported. And I've been myself many, many times, and you started something really wonderful, and I'd love to hear about it, really.
Oh, thank you, Stephen. It does mean a lot to hear that. So I lived in Chester since 2020, as I mentioned, and I... was often seeing things going on, Welsh events, and they were all in Wrexham. Yeah. And you know, okay, yes, sometimes I don't mind driving over to Wrexham. You know, my parents are here as well. It's okay. It's not too far. But sometimes you want to go and you want to sit and you want to have a couple of drinks. And you don't want to have to drive or get the bus or
very
all of
true,
that.
Very true.
And I was always saying, oh God, I wish there was just something going on in Chester. We're not far. Why is there nothing going on in Chester?
That's true.
And then it was actually, I came to the Welsh group here in Overton, and I came to this group when I was staying at my parents' for the weekend. My mum had sent me, she had seen it advertised that there was a Welsh group in Overton, and I was, all right, okay, well, I'll pop along since I'm here. And it was lovely, and everyone there was lovely. And then I just thought, and I was like, I could do this. And I started looking, and I spoke to people at Story House to see whether or not they could host it, and they said that they would be able to.
I remember,
But then, again, I wanted it to be this kind of social event. It wasn't, you know, it's not
formal. It didn't have to be formal,
And then I knew a gentleman who worked at a local pub in Chester, the Golden Eagle, who, again, is from Wales.
He is.
And I said to him, look, would we be able to just have a bit of a Welsh group? Can we, you know, can you set aside as a table? And he was obviously more than happy with bringing people into the pub. And it kind of started. And then I just literally created a poster and started sharing it around. And we now have, I think I've got 27 people in our group WhatsApp.
Just amazing, man.
We don't all, not everyone's there every month.
Of course not.
Just a plug, it's the last Thursday of every month in the Golden Eagle in Chester.
I'll cut that out, Sarah. We don't do plugs on it. No, sure. And it really is lovely. And I've been there when there's been 4 people there. I've been there when there was 13 people there. Mm-hmm. And it's just... Yeah, it's just a really, really cool place. And they all are, to be honest, wherever you go, whether it's Overton or the one I do in Hope now and again, wherever you go, they're always wonderful events. But I'm really glad I've got to give you a chance to sort of talk about it, because people like you should be celebrated. But are you happy with the way it's going? Are you?
Yeah, I think I was so worried that first time that it was just going to be me sat there.
Even if it had been, that would still be, at least you've drawn a line in the sand and said, I did try this.
Yeah, and I did, yeah.
And
but it wasn't.
It's not. And again, what I think is nice is people in that group have started to do things. So we share things. One of the ladies who started to come, she came to an event at Nagua Thane. Which again she'd found out because of this group, you know. Some of the guys did a pub tour of Carnarvon but they'd all met through this, and it's those kind of stories of it's spreading, and it's like, it brings me such joy to see that, you know, 2 people I know in the group on are on Facebook and they're going to a pub together and stuff. And it's like, you have that kind of joy of like, oh yeah, we've made something. And I think as well, it's also, there are so many Welsh-speaking people in Chester.
Oh my word. So many
that you don't realise, because you pass each other in the street, you see each other in a pub, and you don't talk Welsh to each other. Yeah. And actually, in our last session, there was a guy who I knew from a time when I was working at Bank of America, and there was a guy I work with all the schools in Chester, and one of the head of sixth forms, who is a language teacher, had come along to this group, and obviously we were both like, oh hello, like, you know, we I know you, and I'd seen him in work, but no idea. Were both, you know, yeah, Welsh learners. And so it's kind of, it's putting it out there, and I think it's just creating a safe space for people to go 100%. And practice. We've got people there who speak first language Welsh. We've got people there who are at mynediad level, who, you know, just come and want to.
Some people just come and listen.
Yeah,
you know, it's a whole scope of people, and you've put that. Do you know what? Like, I'm just sort of raving about the fact you went out and did it, and you've put that out there for people. And then I didn't know half these stories you've just shared now about these connections that are made because of what you've done or through what you've done, and it just makes it a million times more beautiful, if that's even possible, every single time you say this. And that's all you can ever do in life, isn't it? Not offer those sort of connections and things like that. And I like to do that through Welsh, as clearly you do as well. But it's just so lovely to hear those little stories of success and things like that.
There's some similar stories to that for Simon Chandler and Alan Ewe, and they over in Manchester. And a similar thing, like Alan turned up at they have like a learners group. I think it's once a month they have there. We'll have to talk to them too. And there were 2 people who worked in different parts of the same, I think, building or the same organisation, and they didn't realise they were both learning Welsh.
No.
And that's in Manchester, you know, you really wouldn't think Chester.
Why would you? Of course.
Because it's close to the border, but Manchester really isn't. But again, there's just lots of people learning Welsh all over the place, or speaking Welsh. You know, we get everywhere.
Hey, we get everywhere. And hence, once again, always take Diolch with you, because you never know. Just hold the door for someone. You could do it anywhere. I don't care where I am. I'll literally just say, thanks, Diolch. If I'm in England, I'll say thanks first, things like that. I'll always say it. And you never know. It's worth it, definitely. Mm-hmm. But look, I'm not here speaking on behalf of the Welsh language. You know, nobody can do that. But I'll tell you what, like, you deserve a wonderful Diolch for it. You've done something amazing. And long may it continue.
Going there in Chester. And that pub will always be now part of our sort of mythology and our history, you know, in 100 years' time.
Oh, they had a group of Welsh speakers come in here, you know.
Even that, if the pub then isn't there, it's still a market in the sand, isn't it?
I should also say
thank you to Lee from...
Oh yeah, absolutely lovely
Golden
guy
Eagle,
as well.
The gentleman who has helped allowed me to do it, and he is a Welsh speaker himself, and I think he appreciates the opportunity. We can order in Welsh in the pub in England.
It's brilliant, and he offers that for us, doesn't he? So and a nice guy as well, really nice guy.
Yeah, lovely.
No, but DLTT, yeah. Am I getting a poem, Aria?
Are you going to give me my notes then?
No, I'm keeping them to make you do it
was
from
it
memory.
Okay, by the way? Did it have any errors in it?
It was strewn with errors. No, behave. And do you know what, actually? Aside from having read it, and I thought it was very lovely, and I'm very excited for you to read it, there was also a bit at the end where you used O apostrophe M, orm, as in from yes. my or of my. And I just, it filled my heart with happiness when I thought, we talked about this on the last pod, and now here she is smashing it in a lovely yeah. poem. So
that's actually the correct use of orm.
Orm, of my or from my. It sounded lovely.
Okay, so bearing in mind the floor is got like a line of things like little triangles and things like that, like picked off their table of stuff, and then I had this gorgeous marble, this shiny marble. And we've just established before that marblen is the right word.
I wouldn't have even guessed what the word would have been.
This is one of these things where these are all words that come from my childhood, and then I use them, and then if there's a questioning of it, I think, oh, is it even a word? Have I made
that
up?
Was it like a pet name that I had for it?
Yeah. But it is a word, so ashwrna, which of course means the journey.
Yeah.
Dwi'n marblen, yn rholio heibio'r goedwig ar blodau lliwgar. Mae'n y garreg galed sy'n rhwystro fy rholio am gyfnod, ond daw wedyn dael i grensian dan fy nhraed brysur, nes gyrraedd trionglau'r llwybr. Dilyn patrwm newydd ar deunydd anghyfarwydd, nes gyrraedd cregin a pelen plentyndod. Ond lle mae'r alaw i gyfeirio fy siwrne, o mentor caf ddysgu hynny.
Oh man, I feel like I kind of want to applaud it a little bit. I'm gonna let people listen
so
at home.
I did get an applause
lovely.
At the time because I Martin Dawes was there, you know, the one that was the poet laureate. He was
yes.
there. Yes. So he led the clapping, he started clapping, and then everyone was clapping. And then loads of people in the room did actually speak Welsh. So
if everyone
had had a little badge saying they spoke Welsh, I think it's most of the room.
It probably would have most of the room, yeah.
At least people had learnt Welsh. And so to explain, the triangles that were of felt were the same colour as the feathers. So what I was sort of saying is, like, obviously you do some things, a bit like dominoes, you do some things and then there'll be the next thing will be similar but also a bit different.
Yeah.
And there was the idea of a stone blocking you, because it was this beautiful stone that I used, but then that you can move forward. And I'd used the shells, they were from the beach.
Yeah.
And also, you know those little hacky sacks, leather things,
yes.
and kick and things?
Yes.
These are all things I remember from my childhood, because my mum's friend bought me when we went around the Monday market one time in the Atsu car park. She actually bought me one of those, so I associate those with being young. So I put those at the end of the journey, because all of my work really is this sort of very much know thyself, going back to my childhood and examining all my experiences. But then there's this idea of, but where will I get this melody for my journey? But I will get that from my mentor, who was sat next to me. She was like,
oh, that's lovely.
Yeah.
No, do you know what was really cool about it as well? The way you were holding that marble as you were reading it as well. And I think that's what makes poetry really lovely, that there's almost this action to it as well. It's really... I don't know, it's very personal, isn't it? But it's also something that even though it's so personal, you think something so personal can never be shared. It's not for anyone else, it's for me. It describes me and how I'm feeling and things like that. But it's meant to be shared, and it's better when it's shared. Yeah. That's what I always find beautiful about any sort of poetry. But
it was interesting, actually, because the guy who I was telling you about before, he was sat next to me, when I started telling him about it, I did the same thing with the postcards. We had to pick these postcards, and one of them had urchins on, which reminded me of my parents' house. They had made like these nets and put urchins and things. And so I was telling him that's why I got this, and he said, oh, someone asked me a minute ago, because we had to go around asking each other's questions, someone had asked him about a core memory, and he was like, I don't even, like, didn't have the concept of what they were talking about, because that sounds like a core memory. And then I did this, and he was like,
because
we were very different, because obviously he's like to film and that sort of technical stuff that I have absolutely no skill whatsoever in, but my thing is sort of talking about objects, and I think it's my age as well. I've reached this point in my life where I do a lot of looking back and trying to understand who I am through things like looking at a marble and thinking, you know, that reminds me of all of these things.
It's really taking a minute just to think about it all, really. And beautiful.
That's what poetry is for me.
I couldn't disagree. And so much more as well, isn't it? And, no, it's lovely. Well, I actually would love to say a couple of thank yous. A couple of diolchs. Can't believe I just said thank you. I've been on a couple of podcasts recently, and I just wanted to give a shout out to Tales for Wales, two South Walian lads. Had a right laugh with them. They were amazing. That's Tales for Wales with the number 4 in there. And they just talk about Welsh history. And they're both Welsh speakers, and they chuck a lot of Cymraeg in what they do as well. And they're just great lads. Had a good laugh with them. And also Molly from Irish with Molly. I went on a podcast with her talking about the sort of similarities and differences, not just linguistically between Irish and Welsh, but also between the sort of cultures of it as well. And it was really, really lovely to be on that. So Gora Mila Mahagat, thank you so much. Diolch, Molly, that was really cool as well. And the only other thing I wanted to mention was that I'll be talking this Thursday. It's probably a bit late for a plug now, isn't it? Because this is going out today on the Sunday, I hope, this evening. And by the time a lot of people listen to this, it'll probably all be done by then. But to go and have a bit of a chat about sort of my Welsh journey in Wrexham in English and then in Welsh. So if you are hearing this before Thursday, the whatever of April, what will it be next Thursday? The 18th. That was far too fast.
Yeah. Gosh, Kerry.
That I tell you, yeah. So, yeah, you're saying that to me and also a teacher. So at 5 o'clock, we're in the library. We're inside Seren from 8 as well, so that's going to be really, really cool. The reason I did it in that order was because this is sort of under the banner of Lingo Now, with a wonderful little magazine for learners from Golwg. And when I say Golwg, you might have something to do with Golwg, Sarah. Is there anything you'd like to say about that?
So obviously Golwg is the kind of umbrella organisation. They have the paper-based magazine, weekly magazine. It's the national magazine. Mm. It has a mixture of news and culture and that kind of thing in. And I have been subscribing to that since I left university, first time, the undergraduate. That was because someone said, if you want a job back in Wales, which at the time I was thinking, I want to go home, I want to go back to Wales and learn to speak Welsh properly again. And so I started getting Golwg through the post. And then my journey really to the point now where I'm a columnist for Golwg.
That's cool, man.
Because obviously they asked you to do this thing with Francesca stuff around Lingo Now is.
Mm.
But then... because I'm actually a columnist and I've done some freelance reporting for them and helped them do the research for getting this grant that they got, which is quite exciting, from the lottery, to make a community section on the Golwg website for Wrexham.
Yeah.
So I'm covering all of those sorts of sides of things, really. We're going to be trying to encourage, it's Umbweri Bro, I think they've called the...
I like that. Umbweri, empower, yeah.
So that's on the Wednesday night in the South Seren. And basically, this is the... Obviously, even your evening and stuff is the beginning of a journey trying to engage, make the connection between Golwg as a main organisation and Wrexham.
Yeah.
And really get more Wrexham people writing and reading all of the different permutations of Golwg, because before I started writing, I think there's another couple of people that have written. There's someone who is a journalist, a local journalist. He also writes sort of the political stories and stuff for Golwg.
Okay.
But then I tend to write sort of more meandering things that are connecting. And my article has just been published. My column has just been published. I have a bi-monthly column on Golwg website, Golwg 360.
Mm.
And this one is called Gwireddu'r Breuddwyd, or Sgwennu I Gwmni Golwg.
Which is quite appropriate, I think, isn't it? So,
and the subheading is A Gobeithio Helpu Eraill o Wrexham I Ymuno A Mi, A with a little tall bar.
The little the cheeky Eva.
Means that kind Evo or Gwinda. Yeah. And so it's kind of a little meander through my history of like, submitting a letter to Golwg and getting it in the magazine. It was about 20 years ago before there was a website. That was about, people were arguing about whether they should or should not let the Nationalist Edward of Wales go to Liverpool.
Mm.
And there were people talking about Tryweryn and things. And I'd written, because I'd actually done my dissertation on the drowning of the Tryweryn Valley and the rise of nationalism in Wales. And I interviewed David Wigley for my dissertation. So I'd actually written a letter where I'd sort of said, you know, know, the Braddocks were the main two politicians in Liverpool who had ensured that Tryon did get drowned and whatnot. And so they've gone. All those sorts of people have gone.
Very
now.
True. Mm.
And the connections between Liverpool and Wales are far stronger.
Couldn't
than
agree
all
more,
the,
yeah.
That sort of
yeah.
side of things. So that was my first ever letter. So that's about 20 that's, years ago.
It's a good shout, that, as well. I like
so
that.
I sat
it's
there
powerful,
reading that. It over and over again. And I still do that every time I have any of my articles in Golag. It says here I've had 92 so far since the 23rd of September 2022. So I've now written some stuff.
How are we celebrating the 100th? That's what I'm looking
I know,
for.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm hoping to get some kind of trophy or, like you say, you to be knighted. You've written 100 well, pieces well, like, for Golag.
Can I Dr. Cymraeg knight you both? I'm going to knight yes. you as fluent, Kevin, and I'm going to knight you as 100 articles in Golag. We'll definitely do that. We'll do some Dr. Cymraeg awards, I think. And
I get so much out of writing this column. And what's really nice about it is that I've got access to the back door of the website now, and I can actually, there's like a line, and if you press a couple of points on the line, I can actually see my version and then the editor's version
oh,
and
yeah.
all the changes they've made.
It's another resource
so
for you. So, yeah.
So I can see where Alan has had to like change, like put it all back if I haven't put a circumflex accent.
Yeah. Or a typo, I suppose, as well. And,
hardly any of those, actually. It is more like grammatical errors where my Welsh isn't. And so I can use these 100 articles when I've got the 100 for the project that I'll now be doing with Paul Eastwood coming up. So we've got a little bit of funding to look at dyslexia and neurodivergence and the Welsh language and the problems that I have, and then look at ways around it. So I'm definitely going to be using the Golag backdoor to help me to identify my common problems, because that's one of the things that I really want to do is like list all my common problems.
That's true.
And
actually,
then find
to find
ways
which
to contextualise them.
We can do that. We'll do a whole podcast on it.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing.
You two are going to be doing different podcasts every week of the year, like just different subjects.
Just writing for different things.
Yeah.
Because this is our life, though, isn't it? This isn't something that we do because we have to. We do it because we seem like an inner compelled.
I think it is. I think there is. It is compelled, I think. I don't know. I just enjoy doing it, really. But yeah, I just like sharing, to be honest. And if people are interested, great. But the thing is, you'll probably find yourself doing that, Kerry, just because you know you're part of it now, and you'll want to use your Welsh as much as you can, and you people will pick up on that, and you'll get
like
those opportunities.
Poetry, you said, so
I have started.
Once you get that bug, it's all
over.
Oh,
I know.
Yeah, you've done that.
You'll be going to workshops and writing about marbles.
It'll happen.
You'll be able to stop yourself.
It'll happen.
Oh, God, I know. It is. But you know what? And just on the subject of poetry, the last time I was in Nantgwrthain,
yes,
we had a talk from Myrddin. I can't remember his name.
Myrddin ap Dyfed.
Yeah.
No way.
The archdruid.
He came. Yeah. He did a talk for us about poetry. And one of the things he was talking to us about was the kind of history of you know, poets in Wales and all of this. And I had this, and Nantgwrthain, I feel like, is, as a Welsh learner, it's a very kind of emotive experience sometimes.
Oh, massively.
Yeah, it's a pilgrimage.
Yeah.
Pilgrimage is a great way of looking at it, yeah.
You know, at the end of the weekend, we were asked to write a postcard back to the people who'd been there that weekend, so we could thank them and explain. And I was saying in it about, you know, he'd been talking about all the history of these poets in Wales and about the importance of, you know, of keeping that tradition
acknowledging
alive.
Them and,
you know, we'd also at various points of the weekend talked about things like the Welsh knot and the loss of the language.
Of course.
And I said, you know, the majority of my family is not Welsh, but through my paternal grandfather, he's from South Wales. And, you know, in our kind of generations, my sister's learnt Welsh, one of my uncles has learnt Welsh. You know, I want my children to grow up Welsh speaking.
Yeah.
But I put in, you know, my postcard to him about the fact that I wonder if in my family history, I know that there were Welsh speakers, they were from Southern Wales.
Yeah.
Were there any poets and things? And then we lost it, but then it's like, kind of, and it makes you again feel that really emotive bit of like, oh, I'm starting that again.
But I'm doing that, yeah.
I'm relearning the
whether it's only ever
language.
Read by you or a thousand people, a million people, like you've done that.
We have to do a pamphlet then, because through Stephen, through working with Stephen and like him helping me understand the technology of Amazon, that's how I've published my first proper pamphlet, which I did bilingually. And you know, that doesn't cost any money at all, because you don't have to pay for the ISBN. We're in Rupi Kaur's footsteps here, because that's what she did. She was told, you know, no, you need to publish in magazines, don't self-publish. She tried all of that. She wasn't getting anywhere, because her stuff is mainly aphorisms, and a lot of people don't consider her stuff to be poetry, but it's really popular. So on Instagram, she became very popular, and then she published through Amazon and bought the bank. She's the biggest, most successful. She reignited the poetry chapbook, because people weren't really writing those or buying them, and all of a sudden there's this proliferation. And thank goodness for Rupi Kaur.
Most definitely. But this is the thing: this can happen to anybody in all different. You know, it might be buying the bank, as you say, but it can definitely.
Especially not if you write about seizures, which is what my first one is. But it's a lot more jolly than it sounds.
It is.
And I'm now, you know, my next book is now coming out this month, and that's with Farmer Dan. And then I am going to self-publish a few more. And it's just a really nice thing, because those books will exist long after I'm dead. There's physical books in the universe that people might be buying off their eight books and going, oh, 100 years ago, there was a Welsh-speaking woman from Wrexham who wrote poetry, actually.
Definitely, he won. Of course, we'll never know. But
there have been some.
There's at least two.
Two, definitely. No, I agree. Oh, look, I'm. I think we're going to go to Mould next time. I think, aren't we?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, be nice.
We'll have a chat with a few people there and see if we can drag a couple, like we've dragged Kerry out today, I think.
It's nice to be on location. I've never been here to this place.
Do you know what? I think that's what I do love about doing this as well. Obviously, the chats are really cool and the people we get on are awesome every single time. But like, to go to different places, it is quite unique. And
that's the feedback that I got in the Estelle book. There was one guy who said, you know, it's really nice to hear something that's coming from the northeast.
Yeah. And we are actually here. I promise you, we are in the Cross Foxes right now. And we are overlooking Avon Dyfrdwy. And I promise you, it's exactly.
It seems to be a place where there's lots of crows. I can hear lots of crows.
It's true, actually. Yeah,
we're on the edge of a forest.
There's a few nests. We are actually.
Yeah.
But I promise we are there, and we are always on location. One day we should just do one just for a laugh and just say that we're in, like, I don't know, just somewhere absolutely random.
Patagonia.
Just someone shout from the background,
hola
from the sidelines, and just pretend, you know, definitely get some llamas going. But I'm gonna have a just throw my pen around. We're gonna have a go of that next time, I think. But I think all that's left is to say diolch, as always, to the wonderful Sarah, and she then says diolch to me, because
DLPT.
See, that's all I wanted. That's all I wanted. And obviously diolch, and obviously an even bigger one for dragging her out and coming to join us, ET Kerry. So a diolch am siarad efo ni, a hefyd diolch am neud y stwff yn Caer, in Chester, yn Caer. Efo grŵp sgwrsio, just
Ymbwery
yr iaith. It'll never ever hit you how, you know, you might just think it's, I just did it and it was lovely, and you know, I know
it's
you
like
reckon.
Quantum Leap. You might be too young for that.
I know it.
He was jumping through time into people's lives, and every time he jumped, he would make a change and it would change their lives.
Yeah.
And he never realised till the end. When Al was sort of explaining to him just how big a change
he
made in every situation,
and that is that's exactly what I'm saying about you. You may never
notice it, but
it's exactly what it is with that little thing he used to use, the little device he had to jump through time and stuff. That
Harry would, well done.
It wasn't that good.
I chi am, you know, gael fi
heddiw.
And cofiwch pawb, bob nos Iau olyr yn y mis, tafern Golden Eagle yng Nghaer. Every last Thursday of the month, we meet at the Golden Eagle in Chester, 7 o'clock.
Yep.
If you turn up late, we promise there's not penalties. You don't have to wear a dunce hat or, you know, anything
like
that.
Why did you make me do it when I came at 10 past then? Oh, you told me that wasn't the... No, it really is a lovely atmosphere. So diolch, diolch, diolch. Diolch I chi, pawb, am rando, all you guys for listening, as always. And yeah, please reach out to us on the socials if you want to have any, you have any comments about anything. I tweet us at Cymraeg Doctor. I'm also on Instagram as Dr_Cymraeg. And Sarah?
I am Seren Siwena on all the social medias, and then obviously we've also got our email, which is underneath the thing on Spotify, which is doctoriaidcymraeg@gmail.com.
Bendy flipping gedig. Up the mighty Wrexham. Diolch, guys.